is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the APAD show in New York City. I'm with Catherine Edelman of Catherine Edelman Gallery. But Catherine, you're also the president of APAD right now.
Yes, I am. And APAD's now in its 34th year. APAD's the Association of International Photography Art Dealers. We have members throughout the world. At this stage, we have over 120 members, and 80 of them are exhibiting at this year's fair.
And APAD has a reputation for having blue-chip galleries, the best galleries, the most reliable galleries. And you see a huge variety of work here, ranging from affordable gravures to things that are stratospherically priced.
Oh, absolutely. I think that with APAD, we pride ourselves on having the entire history of photography in one room every year. So you have some of the earliest salt prints to pieces made last week, so to speak. So things that span from the first 19th century images made to mixed media photo-based videos. APAD members have incredible expertise in what they do. And so the public is guaranteed that what they are looking at is some of the best being produced today, and that's really one of our strengths.
Now, your gallery represents more contemporary work. You're not dealing with historical work as much?
No, I'm strictly living photographers, and pretty much work that's being produced within the last 5-10 years.
Now, that's a very difficult role for a gallery because you don't have the provenance to draw upon, so you really have to trust your eye and your instincts, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, every now and then you make some mistakes. But I founded the gallery as a photographer, realizing that I wasn't going to be a working photographer, and I wanted to help people while they were alive. So it seems fairly reasonable to limit the gallery to people working today. And so there's a lot of looking and thinking and discussions in the mirror as to the types of work that I'm interested in and want to support at the moment. And thankfully, it's been 26 years now. My taste has changed drastically, just as it always does as we get older. And I've actually really been embracing things today that I probably wouldn't have looked at 10, 15 years ago. And so it's exciting, but it's also really difficult to stay on top of what people are doing today, especially if I think it needs another 5 years to mature. But it's a role I enjoy, and I've helped start a number of careers, and several of those artists have gone on and done very, very well.
Catherine, you're a proud alumnus of the University of the Arts, which is the institution I teach and curate for. How did that education affect you in terms of photography, but also that transition from photographer to gallerist?
Well, back when I went to school, it was called PCA, Philadelphia College of the Arts, and I actually came to PCA to study in metalsmithing and then switched in my sophomore year to photography. The foundation of PCA, while I didn't appreciate the rigor while I was there, really set the stage for who I am as a business owner. Back then, and it was a bit ago, it was really more about technique. Concept wasn't nearly as important as lighting and printing and photographing, with the ideology that if you have a great idea but you can't see it, it doesn't really matter. And that ideology I carry with me through the gallery. There are plenty of artists who have great ideas, but if it's schlocky looking and, you know, it's printed poorly and it's framed poorly, it really doesn't matter what their idea is. And while I didn't really appreciate that, you know, when I was 20, it's really a philosophy that's carried with me to this day. And then when I came out to Chicago to go to grad school at the Art Institute, it was a complete opposite. They were more interested in concept, assuming that you had the technique down, which I did. So it was a great foundation. Of course, now, you know, I went into business instead, but that was, you know, I didn't waste time. I knew pretty early on that even though I thought I was saying something, people were saying it better, so I might as well get on with doing something else with my education, and so business seemed a logical step.
Who were your faculty at PCA?
Well, there were many people, but the only one I would really single out would be Alida Fish, who was my saving grace, one of my true mentors and still a very dear friend.
Let's talk about materiality, which seems to be the word of the day. At APAD, you have salt prints by Fox Talbot himself, and you've also got iPads on the walls, and you've got digital prints. Do you think that in a couple of years, collectors will differentiate between a silver print, say, and a digital print? Or what do you see now in terms of how people are expressing themselves? Is there a return to the handmade or the kind of the haptic object?
Well, several years ago, when the computer became really prevalent, you saw a number of photographers rejecting it and going back to 19th century. So Lyle Rexer's The Antiquarian Avant-Garde book was instrumental in showing us all these artists who were rejecting it. Dan Esterbrook is somebody I represent. I have salt prints on the wall, right? They're contemporary, but they're salt prints. And it's commenting on our historical past through a present-day experience. So while you might have Fox Talbot salt prints, you also have Dan Esterbrook salt prints. The collector is as savvy as the dealer. And dealers are forever in our business invested in the history of photography. There will always be dealers who specialize in 19th century. But as we all get older and the industry grows older and people start to retire, the younger dealers seem to be much more interested in what's going on today. And that would be the iPads on the wall. So what APAD looks like in 20 years will be interesting. And, you know, we'll just have to see what happens. But right now, it's still, the collector is very knowledgeable. And of course, they can tell the difference between a gelt and silver print and a salt print. Now, some of the digital prints in black and white have become extremely good, which is startling because it's taken a long time for black and white digital to look good. And every now and then, even I can get fooled. But, you know, our whole stance at APAD is we let everybody know. We're not trying to hide anything. So our labels say exactly what all the technique is, because that's very important. It's part of our protocols that we have to have proper labeling.
I think APAD is the one photography show where you don't see the word giclée, luckily.
Oh, no. Giclée is not something that has been, it's not looked at highly in our business. We do look to, you know, a couple of different individuals to help us with our verbiage. And you'll see a morphing. I mean, we don't call them sea prints anymore. You know, it's we have to use all the proper terminology now. So giclée, hopefully, will not see that terminology on a label.
So what is the current terminology for a digital print?
Well, that really depends how it's being done. Most of the digital printing today is considered a pigment print, unless it's done with different equipment. But I'd say most of the digital prints that you and I would term digital prints are called pigment prints now.
David Graham is one of our faculty and also an alumnus of University Arts. And he has a saying that we don't leave processes behind, we just continue to add to them. And you have contemporary artists like Adam Foos making daguerreotypes. I mean, I don't think if we step back 15 or 20 years ago, we would have imagined that daguerreotypes by contemporary art that combine conceptual, historical, and all these other fields of exploration. I don't think that many people would think you'd walk in and see contemporary daguerreotypes.
Well, daguerreotypes are proven. We do leave behind the techniques that have been problematic. Cibachrome, we're absolutely not doing that anymore. It has been proven that they don't last nearly as long as the digital technology today, so that has been left behind. Sea prints aren't really being done much anymore. Dye transfer, just because of the nature of the product, unfortunately, is not being done as much, but that is rock-solid archival printing. The industry has gotten much more sophisticated. The testing has gotten much more sophisticated, but, you know, the old plates are still permanent. So, of course, there's a return to permanency. But we definitely are leaving behind the technology that has proven to not be stable, or as stable, shall we say.
So how does the conventional light jet or Lambda print, which is Type C technology, RA4 chromogenic prints, and yet using digital techniques, you've also got the rise of digital silver prints, which are quite beautiful.
Lambda, we don't find people doing it anymore. Once again, people have switched because that's pretty much a C print. And so people are, most artists at this stage, they're doing pigment prints on Hanamule. I mean, it's a beautiful paper. There's many different surfaces. And as, you know, we have a couple of different gurus who do the testing on all the papers, and as they come out with new guidelines and new longevity, you know, ages, I mean, some of these papers are now 200 years. I mean, none of us will be alive to refute that. Then artists change and morph with it. So I don't see any Lambda prints being done anymore.
Catherine, let's discuss what APAD is in a contemporary market and the kind of folks that would want to come and travel to APAD.
Well, APAD generally draws curators and collectors, first and foremost, who want to see the best of the best. But it's also a great venue for people just entering into the business of collecting because they can stop in one spot. You know, the Park Avenue Armory, which is the most beautiful exhibition hall in New York City. And they can visit dealers from, you know, 10, 15 countries in one spot, bringing what they deem to be the best work they have in the gallery, however they define that. You know, everybody has their own definition of what that is. I bring work that I want collectors to see, that they need to know about. I bring work that people expect me to bring, so that there's also that level of expectation. But by and large, I only bring work that no other dealer has, because that's my specialty. I'm not going to double up on what somebody else has on the wall. But every dealer has their own philosophy. And, you know, just think about it. As a person just entering into the field, you can walk around. By and large, you can ask, you know, as many questions as you want from the dealers, because we're here to educate. I mean, that is all we do. We don't, you know, people buy because they want to buy. We don't force people to buy. They, with a little bit of knowledge, they feel empowered. And then the whole idea is, obviously for us, is to sell the work. But it's also a great place to meet people, see who you want to work with. Everybody's personality is different. Everybody's expertise is different. And, you know, I always say to new collectors, find, you know, at least one person to start off with that really will sit down and listen to you and talk to you about what it is you're trying to do and help you build your confidence and ultimately your collection. And sometimes, you know, if you become a real collector, you're going to be working with a handful of dealers that know your taste and will share with you. But in the beginning, for the young collector, whether that's just coming into the business or age, this is just a gift that happens every year in New York City. And, you know, we have dealers from Asia, all over Europe, obviously all over America. It's really quite a phenomenal group of people with great expertise.
And one of the most popular events at APAD are curators that lead groups, and they come from all over the country.
Well, yes. I mean, we work very hard with the curators to bring in their collector groups. And they're allowed on the floor an hour before the public, so they have a very quiet time with their group and with dealers if they choose to engage with the dealers. It's something we've been doing for quite a long time, and we really, really strive to build that every year, and it's great for everybody.
Has the internet affected the dealing of photography?
The internet has been the single greatest thing that's ever happened to business, photography, and anything else in my mind. I remember when I opened, I didn't even have a computer. And then when we first got it, we didn't know we were supposed to save anything. And in Chicago, there was a fire April 15th, 1989, and a whole building of galleries burned down. And back then, we all were on the street, and everybody looked at each other and was like, well, were we supposed to back up our computers? And we all ran around buying those 3.5-inch floppies. And that's how far it's come. I didn't have a website until 2000. I really didn't understand what it was about. And now I probably have the largest website of any photo dealer, because pretty much I'd say 99% of our sales are done with and through our website. We reference it on almost every sale we do, whether it's on the phone or email. We sell from Abu Dhabi, you know, to the United States. It's the access is huge in a way that certainly folks my age and older never really knew or understood. And it's amazing. It's an amazing tool for getting out information.
You have another presence in the art world, encouraging emerging artists.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first one started in 2003. That's called the Chicago Project. It actually started because I was quite bored one summer and took note that I really didn't represent at that point too many Chicagoans. You know, I'd had many, but, you know, artists come and go in galleries for various reasons, and I really wanted to do something that would give back to the community in a way that didn't cost me a lot of money, because, you know, that wasn't my goal, was to spend more money, but that could use my resources to help people. And so the Chicago Project was born, which is an online gallery for non-represented Midwest photographers, in order to give them a little boost and explain, you know, if I see work that I like, we get it up on our website, help them figure out pricing, additioning, the whole structure, and hope that, you know, they'll grow. And if they do, if they get representation, they come off the website. And also, you know, at a certain point, I rotate. The other project that we started about 3 years ago, no. The other project that we started 5 years ago is called Control P, and that was actually because I thought my staff was just fooling around on the computer, and they kept saying, no, we're really searching for something. And I was like, I don't think so. And they said, no, we are. I said, then start a project. And that's how a lot of projects are started at the gallery is, you know, somebody will say something, and I'll just say, well, let's just start another project. So Control P has been probably one of the most successful projects, and it's based on artists that are getting a tremendous amount of press online, but really haven't had exposure in the galleries yet. So Control P being the print command. So, and my staff runs that, I don't. And they pull people they see, and then I say yes or no. They sort of have to defend. Even if I don't like the work, I'll say yes, but they have to really defend it. So it teaches my staff how to look and teaches them how to edit. And it's very, very important in that regard. And then we show that at the same time as our show, so that's 7 times a year.
Catherine, where can our listeners find out more information about your gallery as well as APAD?
For APAD, you go to apad.com, so that's AIPAD.com. And for my gallery, it's just edelmangallery.com, which is edelmangallery.com. We have everything on our website, including price ranges, which we find very, very important, so it's very transparent and just have a good time browsing.
I want to thank Catherine Edelman for spending time with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Enjoy APAD.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Fogel.
You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.maceditionradio.com. The contents may not be used without written permission.